And he calls them my beloved little flock, my little children. At this point for John, really changed. At one point, he was the youngest of the disciples, and now he's old. Last, Peter is gone, having used his remaining time to he and his commandments are indispensable. Take our journey tonight, 21, and here reminds us of what real love is and how important it is for we're wanting and living in a Christian community. But before we do that, let's pray. Father, as we come to you tonight, we want to step into the presence of your love. We want to feel it around us. We need it desperately. Not just to feel your presence, but take that presence and allow it to permeate space and to fill our relationships and encourage us to encourage each other to continue in that love. So, Father, would you use these words and these moments of love for us as we pay attention to what you have put into your scripture. This in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me ask you a question. How many times do you need to hear someone tell you that they love you? Cheryl has never said that to me. She has never said, "Will you stop telling me that you love me?" Right? Well, John has never stopped, and I love this. John has never stopped hearing and understanding how much he is and has been loved by God through Christ. The echo of his voice ran through his hearing and his mind and his heart. Remember how John refers to himself in his gospel? He is the disciple Jesus loved. And it got me thinking. I wonder how differently we might live our lives if we were consistently referring to ourselves as the disciple that Jesus loved. Knowing and believing I'm the man that Cheryl loves affects me. It changes the way I think. It changes the way I conduct myself. It keeps me aware and wanting to honor her trust and love for me. I think John was really onto something. I want to suggest to you that if we were believing and acknowledging and proclaiming that I am the disciple Jesus loves, we would be dramatically changed. So let's look at our verses. 1 John 4:7-21, and I'm just going to ask you to stand with me as I read these verses, please, in honor of the scripture. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God, but anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. And this is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, surely we ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but we love each other. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. And God has given us his Spirit as proof that we live in him and he in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and now testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And all who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us. And we have put our trust in his love because God is love. And all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face him with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love casts out or expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment, and this shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates his fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot? And he has given us this command. Those who love God must also love their fellow believers. You may be seated. In this short passage, we find John doing what he does best in this book, and Wayne has brought this out a number of times. There are words that seem to tumble out of him over and over and over again, reminding that love and abiding and remaining are all really important, and we can't put them aside. We need to understand them and embrace them and be reminded of them. Verse 10 says that this is real love. And that's where really things came together as far as this message and what I've been experiencing in the last few months was real love. And so that's why I entitled it, Real Love Changes Everything. Well, what is real love? What is real love? Now, I've fashioned sort of an acronym of sorts. And it helped me, and I want you to just, if you're jotting anything down, to take this and look at it and hold it up against 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. I think it will stand up. But real love is rich. It's pure. It's undiluted. Real love is enduring. It's objective. It's faithful. Real love is authentic, genuine, original, unlike anything else. And real love is lavish. It's extravagant. It's inexhaustible. It's selfless. Real love has nothing to do with political correctness or the latest catchphrase to be culturally relevant. Real love is only concerned about being biblically correct and standing on the unchanging word of God. Real love has to do with sacrifice and giving of oneself for another. Real love is meant to change everything about us. Our understanding, our convictions, our perceptions, our feelings, our emotions, and our actions. Real love is meant to impact us enough to change us completely. I'm going to shift gears here. And I'm going to give you a peek into some of the things that God has been sharing and doing in a time that has been difficult. In the past few weeks and months of hospital stays and ER visits, Cheryl and I have had the opportunity to experience real love from you, from this amazing family that we call Hope. You've been faithful to support us with grace and prayer and encouragement. You've sent us cards, texts, phone calls, flowers, meals. And it touched us. We felt really loved. We can't tell you how much it's meant to us over these past weeks and months. But even beyond that, I need to tell you of experiencing God's real love in ways I've never known before or experienced. being carted away from my home and wife in an ambulance, struggling to draw my next breath, is still a vivid memory. And arriving at the ER, I was greeted by a nurse that immediately assured me I was in luck today because I was getting the A-team. I needed to see a smile because the face that I had just left was in pain. I had no idea at the time that the A would stand for angel. God was there with me. And if I went through the list of miraculous things that happened during my stay, we'd be here and we'd miss out on the painting party. But there were so many things. God's real love had preceded me every step of the way. Timing, physical condition, certain meds, one of them the only dose in the hospital, and by one doctor's account, the only dose in the county, was given to me, which was a major turning point in my diagnosis. I was moved 4 times during my stay. At one point, the doctors moved me to telemetry, and the prognosis wasn't very assuring. He said, if I'm in here early tomorrow morning, that may mean you're not going to make it. We'll be moving you to ventilator. And the good news is I never saw that doctor again. But what he didn't know is I had had a visitor the night before. I wasn't able to speak at all at this point. I was hooked up to what looked like a car manifold, pressing oxygen into me at an extremely high rate because of the double COVID pneumonia. I felt cut off. I felt alone. I was afraid. I was anxious. And as it turned out, praying was my only source of communication. So I prayed till I drifted off to sleep. At some point, I was aware someone had taken my hand, and I felt warmth, and I felt comfort from their touch. I imagined it was Cheryl, but when I opened my eyes, there was no one there, and I still felt the warmth and the touch. And then I began to feel breath on my face, as if someone was bending over me to assure me I wasn't cut off. I wasn't alone. I didn't need to be afraid. I didn't need to be anxious. And somehow I knew that Jesus, the embodiment of God's real love, was in the room standing by me, letting me know that no matter the outcome, it was going to be okay. No matter the outcome, Cheryl would be okay. No matter the outcome, my children and grandchildren would be okay. And from that point on, God's got this was my response to anyone asking how I was doing. 1 John 4:18 became real to me. It became alive. My fear was gone. And it had been replaced by a confidence in his perfect love that I now could and would no longer take for granted. I knew in the moment I was a disciple that Jesus loved. I experienced peace that passed all understanding. I was able to pray with some of the people that came in to help me. I was able to be still and know that he was God. I was able to surrender and cast all my cares on him because I knew he cared for me. And I would say, Wouldn't that be a great ending to the story? But God had more. God had more. He immediately started doing other things in me. Once we had settled this, you're okay, I've got this, don't worry. He asked me to give him room to bring up things that I needed to address in my life. Things that needed to go. Accounts that had not really been closed. Sins that I had overlooked or ignored. He took me back into childhood. Genuine repentance and great reflective confession seemed to consume my quiet world of no voice and the hissing sound of oxygen. Real love was at work, sometimes painfully, but always beautifully and tenderly. There was one word that continued to tumble in my mind as John was tumbling these words out to his beloved. One word that continued to roll in my mind and work in my heart and knead into my soul. And it's a tough one for me. Humility. I was reminded that God loves humility. 1 Peter 5:5 says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. And Proverbs 15:13 says, the fear of the Lord is instruction and wisdom, and humility comes before honor. I had come to the place where the one thing that mattered most was to be growing in my relationship with God. I would hope that none of you would say I was deficient in that necessarily, but God knew I was. And he determined to do what was necessary to love me enough, to really love me enough to draw me closer, to get his fingerprints all over me where I couldn't escape. Real love was and is changing everything for me. And I pray God will not stop till he's done perfecting the things that he knows I need work on. And even again, in the silence of not being able to necessarily speak, I have to tell you, there was a lot of yay gods going on. There was a lot of yay gods going on. And his faithfulness, I will not ever forget. So thank you for what you have done to participate in that and the prayers that has brought God even closer, and yet to have him in my room. We have just read, as some of you talking or reading about Wendy, the presence of God coming and being. He is so wanting to get really real with you. Really real. He really wants you to know his love. Not talk about it, not think about it, not forget about it. He wants you to know his love and how real, tangible, touchable it is. I want to feel that hand on my hand. I want to feel that breath on my face. I want that real love at work in me. Our third and final little block of time. Hope's future. We are in an exciting time. And it hasn't escaped me, and I'm sure it hasn't escaped you, that our little flock has been affected by COVID in many ways, and certainly affected by the ever-changing world we're living in over the past couple years. In some ways, we've been carried away from our home, carted off. And we may have felt alone. We may have felt that we are cut off. Saturday night, not kind of where we wanted to be, but this is going to work. And I think that there's been times, if we're honest, where we've been a little afraid and a little anxious. How is this going to end? Will we survive? Will anything ever get back to normal? And yet here we are, our final Saturday, our last Saturday to gather here. We're anxiously looking forward in a good way to what things are going to happen. Next week we'll be in the new place, ready or not, painted or not, stepping into a new place where we will have in many ways a new and a fresh start. New opportunities, and I'm sure new challenges. But remember, God's got this. God has got this. There are so many indications that He is standing by us, holding our hands, breathing assurance into us to move forward by faith. Just sharing with Bev earlier that one of either Brian or Gary or someone smarter than me said, you know, let's at least go down swinging. Let's at least go down swinging. You know, isn't that what faith is? Doesn't look like I can win, but I'm going to go down swinging. Yay, God. And no matter the outcome, we can trust Him. We can trust His love. We can trust Him to use us. We can trust Him to take this church and use it for His glory, whether we understand it or not, whether it lasts 100 years or 100 days. It doesn't change that God is having His way and doing with us. That's that submission part. How can we have peace if we don't submit to Him? How can we have peace if we don't trust in Him? How can we have peace if we don't understand His real love for us? And the beautiful thing is that our only job is to bring that real love with us. It's here. All we have to do is take it with us. As I said, you exampled it to Cheryl and I and many others over the years that we've witnessed. And you know, it's always good to hear that, oh, Hope is this wonderful, loving, friendly little church. Just a delight. We have this smiling person that never ceases to smile or stop hugging people. And we all know who she is. And people come and they think this is so wonderful. And it is. But 1 John 4:17 reminds us to continue to grow in that love. In our opening verse tonight, verse 7, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. And I just want to tell you, being a loving church isn't unique. It shouldn't be. It should be the standard. We shouldn't take comfort in that. We should say, how can we love better? How can we love more? How can we give that real love to the community that we're going to be working in and to the new people that may come through our doors? Not settling, but pursuing that love and trusting it completely. We are to be the disciples that Jesus loves. And by that, we are to be the disciples who share that love with others, and especially each other. Remember, as Christians, we are to be marked and identified by characteristics that show real love. To love richly. To love enduringly. To be authentic. And to be lavish. Jesus said in John 13, 34 through 35, just as I have loved you. So there's our measure. There's our example. We don't need to look any further. You should love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. I'm hopeful that when we gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, that we don't have to prove to each other that we love each other. But the world is in desperate need of an example, in desperate need of light and salt, in desperate need of real love, because what it has isn't working. And we're going to have a chance when we leave this place and go to Grace Lake, a fresh slate, so to speak, an opportunity that God is giving us to prove that we are his disciples and we understand how much he has loved us because we are able to love others. So let's be encouraged and even challenged to be confident as we prepare to go into the new facility, the new community, and maybe even a new role altogether, to remain faithful, to abide in his real love, and then share it with one another so the world, or at least Grace Lake, will know that we are the disciples that Jesus loves. And as he abides in us and we in him, we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but will face him with confidence because we lived like Jesus in this world. Real love changes everything. Will you let it change you? Will you hunger for his touch? Will you seek his face? Will you want his breath to fill your lungs? Will you give him that room? May God prepare us to be forever changed by his real love. And then may he give us courage to change our community by sharing that love with others. Let's pray. Father, I know that you are so anxious and so ready and so able to meet us wherever we're at. I'm so thankful that we don't all have to be in a hospital bed or under in some sort of desperate crisis to experience your presence. And yet, Lord, somehow we get distracted and are so busy with things that are so not important when it comes into balance with receiving and understanding and knowing your real love. And we keep thinking, manana, manana. And finally you say, no, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day I want you to listen to me. And I will sit you down because I love you enough to do this. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit would be in this place. And we know that it is. I pray that you will work in us and that you will, in fact, even haunt us with a desire to experience firsthand your real love. May we be jealous to feel that, to know that, to understand how intimate you want to be with us, how tender you want to be with us, but how strong you will take action in order to accomplish it, that we might be set free from things that aren't important, and embrace and be attached to those things that are. Father, bring your rich, enduring, authentic, lavish love into our lives. Overwhelm us. And then pour us out. Just as Christ was sent to be a sacrificial offering for us, may we be willing to love others in sacrificial ways, that they might not see just us, but the one who lives in us. Because he is real love. We give you praise and honor. do all things for your glory. And we know that you have promised to do them for our good. So have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.